a few moments. It is so good to be with you this evening. There stands a rock on shores of time. I appreciate Jeremy leading that for us this evening. And really, in one phrase, that is what I want to try and help you see. Not because I have anything particularly profound to share this evening. In fact, perhaps more than just about any other time, I'd really like just to read with you from all over God's Word with a little bit of commentary, hopefully some thoughtful comments here and there. But my aim this evening is to really get all of our eyes firmly fixed on that rock that stands as the shores of time come and go. Today is November 1st, 2020. But my aim is to talk with you in exactly the same way that I would on November 8th, 2020. In fact, my goal this evening is to say exactly what, if somehow I could say, on November 2nd, 1920, when Senator Warren G. Harding defeated Governor James Cox for the presidency of the United States. I'll even take it a step further than that. What I or anyone else preach in 2020 needs to be the same thing that would have been preached on November 1st, 1820, when James Monroe defeated John Quincy Adams for the presidency of the United States. In fact, we can take it even a step further. Wherever we are in time and wherever we are in location, what gets said this evening needs to be exactly what could and should be said in the mountains of India or the heartlands of Uganda or the jungles of the Philippines. Whether we were living in 1020 in Canterbury, England, or 120 in Rome, in the heart of the Roman Empire. That's what I want to talk with you about this evening. Things that whatever happens in this country this week, or next year, or if the Lord wills and this country stands another 5 years or 15 years or 500 years, no matter what happens, I want to try and use God's Word to help us see what is not going to change. Is your Bible open there to Psalm 90? The sovereignty of God is not going to change on Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020. Let's just use God's Word to sharpen and clarify our perspective this evening. First of all, using a song written by Moses thousands of years ago. When he said in verse 1 of Psalm 90, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Do you hear that? Our dwelling place is not going to change this week. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. That's not going to change. this week or this year or next year. Because in the language of Isaiah 40 and verse 12, this question stands. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord, or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did the Lord consult? And who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Listen, this fact is not going to change this week. The nations are like a drop from a bucket. You ever use that phrase? A drop in the bucket? Have you ever noticed where it came from? This is 2,700 years old. And it's applied to all of the nations of the earth at all time in human history. The nations of the earth are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. We live in a society where many are talking as if what happens later this week could signal the end of everything. And what I'd like to do with you is to zoom our focus out and to focus on what is not going to change. The one who reminded us 3,000 years ago in Proverbs 19 and verse 21, man and his mind, women and her, their minds, we have many plans, but it is the purpose of Almighty God that will stand. Some learned that the hard way. In biblical history, we think of a man like Nebuchadnezzar who believed no one had ever lived like him, no one would ever be like him. And yet he was humbled to the point of eating grass so that he and all the living would know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will and sets over it the lowliest of men. Later in that same chapter, Nebuchadnezzar himself was moved to confess the dominion of this God is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? Open a Bible with me where we'll be in just a moment in 2 Peter chapter 1, nearly at the end of your Bible. And as you're turning there, let me remind you of a season in Peter's life when he was absolutely terrified that everything was lost. The Lord he had been walking with for 3 years was standing before a Roman governor, and everything was headed the wrong way. And that Roman governor named Pilate is baffled as this Jew named Jesus won't interact with him. Won't you speak to me, Pilate asked. Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you? And I want you to hear Jesus' answer this evening. You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. realize that this same Jesus did die on a Roman cross later that day. And 3 days later, on a first day of the week, just like today, he came out of that grave to prove once and for all authority in heaven and on earth belongs to him. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not going to change this week. We hear a lot about the most important election of our lives. Let me show you. Is your Bible open to 2 Peter chapter 1? Let me show you the most pressing, important, monumental, eternity-shaping election of your life. Are you ready? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these things, he's just talked to disciples about faith and virtue and knowledge and self-control and steadfastness and godliness and brotherly affection and love. If these qualities are yours and you're practicing these things, not only are you on the right track, you will never fall. For in this way, in accordance with God's plan, made available to each and every one of us through Jesus Christ, there is richly provided an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The sovereignty of God is not up for a vote this week. And if I slip into the ways of this world, and if I allow my vision to become so clouded that I look at anyone, any emperor, any king, any president, if I look at any group of people, any parliament, any Congress, any court, as more sovereign than God, that's what the Bible calls idolatry. The sovereignty of God is not going to change. Go with me to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. Would you find Isaiah chapter 59 in your Bibles? Mankind's greatest need is not going to change this week. Isaiah chapter 59 verses 1 and 2 has a powerful way of summarizing that greatest need for us when God through the prophet says, behold, this is something you need to see and study and meditate upon and act on. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. His ear is not so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. This is the story of the Bible. Our greatest need caused by our great sin, but answered by God who sent his own Son to seek and to save the lost. And so, life-changing, enduring, culture-crossing, time-spanning good news has been announced for 2,000 years. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That needs to be preached in southern Indiana and on the shores of Europe and in Australia and every corner of the globe until our Lord returns. That's not going to change no matter what happens this week or any week in the history of our country. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 toward the end of your Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, our God-breathed guide. We're not going to lose it this week. We're not going to take our eyes off of it as disciples of Jesus. Our guide to a complete, thoroughly equipped, joy-filled life. Whether we're talking on November 1st, 2020, or November 1st, 2021, or November 1st, 2121, same guide. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's Word is going to continue to stand, holding answers to life's greatest questions. Can you find the Old Testament book of Amos? The little prophet Amos, toward the end of your Old Testaments, a little before the book of Jonah. Amos chapter 5, where we will be in just a few moments. How our Creator feels about righteousness isn't going to change this week. How He feels about justice and sin and compassion is not on any human ballot. And no collection of human beings can change how our Creator feels. We'll be in Amos 5 in a moment. Before that, look at Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. This wise summary that righteousness exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. Any people at any time, any culture, any continent, any era, any leader, any collection of leaders. It doesn't change. Whether we're talking about the killing of the unborn in the womb, or we're talking about racism, or sexual immorality, or the abuse of the poor, or perverting the family, or neglecting the weak, whatever it is you want to talk about, how our Creator feels doesn't change. Your Bible open there to Amos chapter 5. Look at verse 24. Here is the call of God, a timeless call for His people. Amos chapter 5 and verse 24. Let justice, doing the right thing no matter what, let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Open your Bible with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 18, if you will. The nature of God's kingdom is not going to change. This week, this year, this decade, this century, this millennia, however long God sees fit to allow this world to stand, it's not going to change. We left Jesus a moment ago as He's standing there before Pilate. Let's come back to that scene in John chapter 18 and verse 36, where Jesus answered that Roman governor. Now, I want you to think about that. Not only has that Roman governor lived and died and largely been forgotten outside of church buildings like this, but the great city of Jerusalem has been destroyed multiple times since then. And the empire that destroyed it has come and gone. And here we are still rooting our faith and our hope and our peace and our joy in an answer that is timeless. Because Pilate's kingdom is no more. Jesus' kingdom is as strong today as it has ever been. Why? Because in the language of the King Himself, John 18, 36, His kingdom is not of this world. If His kingdom were of this world, His servants would have been fighting. But now He says, I want you to see, Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom does not depend upon where human beings draw national boundary lines. His kingdom does not depend upon human economies. His kingdom does not depend upon humanity finally getting everything straightened out so all around us does not melt and burn down to the ground. No, his kingdom is alive and well. It's made up of people who are in Christ Jesus. All over this world today, ordinary men and women who don't speak English, who don't look like us, who don't live like us, who don't drive cars like we drive cars, who aren't even going to go home to nice homes like we enjoy. In fact, if we're honest with ourselves, Scripture warns us, we better be careful that we don't take so much pride in what we have that we lose sight of what life is all about. Because that stuff and our prosperity does not make us disciples of Jesus. In Christ Jesus, anybody can be a child of God through faith. As many as are baptized into Christ, they put on Christ. And in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's no male and female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Go with me a little before this to Romans chapter 13. The nature of God's kingdom is not going to change. And no matter what happens this Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or whatever it is, our responsibilities as citizens of that kingdom aren't going to change. Our responsibility to honor and submit to authority is not going to change. Listen to Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. And understand, this was written 2,000 years ago to Christians in the belly of the beast, in the city of Caesar's. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Written to Christians in Rome. 2,000 years ago. Which means that's exactly what needs to continue to be preached today. Our responsibility as children of God, in the language of 1 Peter 2 and verse 13, to be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God. We need to listen. That by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free. Let's do that this week. Not using our freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. There's not a period in Greek, but in English there is. Period. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. honor the emperor. You mean even the emperor? Yes, our responsibility of children of God to pray for those in positions of authority, no matter what happens, it doesn't change. Paul to Timothy, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. You mean all people? Yeah, all people. For kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Well, what happens when we're living in a world like the last book of the Bible, Revelation, describes? Doesn't change our responsibility to pray for all people, because this is good. We can't change the world. We are very limited in our impact of the world. But we know this is good. And we can do this. It's pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, to pray for all people. Because our Savior desires all people to be saved. All people, all people. And when God's children take their eyes off of that mission, we have a long history of making a giant mess of things. But the mission doesn't change. No matter what happens this week. Go with me to the book of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, the power and potential of the gospel of Jesus Christ is not going to change this week. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, where Paul said, I'm not ashamed. He knows who he's writing to. He knows where those brothers and sisters live. He knows who rules in the city in which the recipients of this letter live. And he says, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the good news. Because it is the good news that is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Everyone? Yeah, everyone. Whether it's November 1st, 1020, or November 1st, 3020, there is room at the cross for everyone. Jesus is still willing to save the lost. The Jew first, and also the Greek, which means that this God-defined mission for his church is not going to change. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, Paul said, if I delay, I want you to know, Timothy, so that you are able to pass this along to others who will be able to encourage and instruct others also. This is how we behave in God's household, his church. It's the pillar and buttress, the ground, the foundation of the truth. For 2,000 years, the differences of Christians have made unity challenging. Different races, different ethnicities, different ways of looking at the world, different backgrounds, different things that they believe ought to be done. Different ways of making judgment calls. Our differences as human beings for 2,000 years has made unity challenging. But for 2,000 years, the Spirit of God has made unity possible. If we will follow His lead and behave in the way that does not change, the way we have been told all along. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3, where we'll be in just a moment. Our responsibility as individual grains of salt and beams of light to live to the glory of God. That responsibility is not going to change this week. At a point in Matthew chapter 24, when some disciples believed, well, the end is near. Jesus is talking about our greatest institutions, our greatest buildings being torn to the ground. Jesus said, no, I'm not talking about the end of the world. But as my disciples, I want you to be like individual grains of salt and individual beams of light, even when the love of the people around you grows cold. We live in a world where love in the hearts of many people is very cold tonight. We know the rock that stands on the shores of time. That rock has changed our lives. In the language of Colossians 3 and verse 1, if you've been raised with Christ, you seek the things that are above. Even when the hearts of people around us have grown cold, especially then, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds. No matter what happens in society around you, your mind is already set. And whatever happens around you in this world, it doesn't change where your mind is set. On things above, not on things that are on the earth. And so, in the language of James 1, we're devoted to religion that is pure and undefiled before God, our Father, whenever and wherever we live, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep ourselves unstained from the world. Because our eyes are set on a greater prize. We're keeping, in the language of 1 Peter 2, our conduct among unbelievers honorable. That call is not going to change this week, no matter what happens. Our calling is to keep our conduct honorable, so that when people speak against us as evildoers, not if, but when. And if they do, that's not the end of the world. Maybe they will see our good deeds and glorify our greatest treasure on the day of visitation. Ultimately, can you find the little book of Habakkuk? I've given you some challenging books to find this evening. Can you find Habakkuk chapter 3? The source of our hope for the future. It's not going to change this week. And there isn't anything that can happen on this planet that can change the source of our hope for the future. We'll be in Habakkuk in just a moment. Listen to the wisdom of Psalm 20 and verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. Not us. We trust in the name of Yahweh our God. Psalm 146 is put even more explicit. Don't put your trust in princes. In a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And so, Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 17, if God's people are carried away to Babylon, doesn't change the source of the hope. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine. The produce of the olive fail, and the field yield no food. The flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Whether God's people are carried away to Babylon, or whether they live in the shadow of the monster of Rome. Doesn't change the source of the hope, who is Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. That hasn't changed. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and is gathering people from all over this world. Hear the song in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe, every language, every people, every nation. God's kingdom transcends boundaries. It is a heavenly kingdom made up of a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession that we might proclaim. This isn't changing this week. The excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, because we belong to a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Never. And it will never be left to someone else who comes along and is the next king of this kingdom. In fact, this kingdom breaks in pieces all other kingdoms and brings them to an end. It is the only one that will stand forever. And so whether it is November 1st, 2020, or November 8th, 2020, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. It's fascinating to me how some of the books of the Bible end. Several books of the Bible end with good leaders who died. Good leaders don't last forever. And so the first book of the Bible ends with Joseph dying. The fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy, ends with Moses dying. Joshua ends with Joshua dying. Some books of the Bible end with bad kings, bad leaders, dying. 1 Samuel ends with King Saul dying. And so it has been for thousands of years. But I want you to think this evening and rejoice in the fact that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John do not end with a death. They end with a resurrection. And that changes everything. The characters in God's story, they come and they go, they change. God's character doesn't. And so if this world lasts long enough, if it lasts so long that the United States of America is only a footnote in human history, there will still stand a rock on shores of time. Some build their hopes on the ever-drifting sand, some on their fame or their treasure or their land. We want you to be able to say this evening, mine is on the rock. My hope is on the rock that forever shall stand. We want you to leave here knowing that your citizenship is in heaven. And from it, you're awaiting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Rock of Ages. And so if we can be of help this evening in shoring up your hope, clearing your perspective, shoring up your joy, the answer is Jesus. If you know that it's time to be baptized in his name for the forgiveness of your sins, there is nothing that will happen in this world this week more than you taking care of that right here, right now. If we can pray with you, for you, as a disciple of Jesus, this invitation is for you. We invite you to come to the front while we stand and sing.